All right. Well, you know what I'm going to say. So here we go. Turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins. It's the book of Devarim, or Deuteronomy, chapter 3. Not quite to the end. I will start with verse 23, where it says, "And I besought," in English or in Hebrew, that is, "Vayet Hanan," "and sought I Yahuwah at that time." Now, what are we talking about here? This is Moshe speaking, and he is given his essentially farewell address, and he says, he's reminding the children of Israel about the story. And at this time, when he's essentially saying Joshua has been anointed, he's going to be the next leader. He's going to take them into the land, and he gets the commandment, and he says that he told Joshua at the end of the last Torah portion, "Your eyes have seen all that Yahuwah has done to those two kings. Remember, Og of Bashan and Sihon. So this is what you're going to do when you go into the land. Don't fear them." "And I besought Yahuwah at that time," it begins. And now what's interesting, of course, is this is, I will contend, one of the most vital, certainly a very key Torah portion. It includes a number of things, including, as I mentioned when we were starting out this evening, the most important commandment in all of Scripture, says Yahushua. And it also includes the reprise of the Ten Commandments. And it's going to lead up to some other really, really important stuff that will help us to discern all the things that we need to know, because there's been so much that's been lied about by the Whore Church and the Whore Synagogue in the millennia since. So here we go. He says, "I besought him, saying, O Yahuwah Elohim, you have begun to show your servant thy greatness and your strong hand. For what good is there in heaven? For what God, rather, is there on heaven and on earth that can do according to your works and according to your mighty acts? So, let me go over, I pray you." He basically is going to ask up front here, "Can I please, pretty please, go into the land? See the good land beyond the Jordan, the hill country, and Lebanon. But Yahuwah was wroth with me for your sakes," he says, "and he didn't listen, he did not hearken. And Yahuwah said to me, isn't that enough?" All right, "You have more than enough." And this is some interesting Rashi comments on this. "Let it suffice you" is how it's rendered in the English. But basically, what he's saying here is, look, you've had a good life. You don't have much to complain about. Let that be enough for you. Don't speak to me about this again. Get yourself up to the top of Mount Pisgah. Lift up your eyes to the west, the north, the south, and the east. Behold with your eyes, because you're not going to go over the River Jordan. But charge Yahushua, and encourage him, strengthen him, because he is going to go over before this people. And he will be the one that shall cause them to inherit the land, which you at least will be allowed to see. So, he says, we abode in the valley over against Bet Peor. And now, O Israel, hearken unto the statutes and unto the ordinances which I teach you. So this is interesting. One of the themes that we're going to really see in Deuteronomy, and it is key, and it's one of the things I will contend has been literally forgotten, left out. It's part of this misteaching that says the law is done away with. Here's Moshe saying, don't even begin to believe that. Hearken, hear and obey the statutes, ha-hukim, and the ordinances which I teach you, to go do them, so that you might live and go in and possess a land which Yahuwah, the Elohim of your fathers, is giving to you. Now, it's interesting, too. This is the first place in Scripture that we see this verb, teach, or lamad. You are not. Now, this, by the way, is also one of the other things I'll point to. It appears twice in Deuteronomy in these next, actually in this section of the book, even. You are not to add to nor subtract from the word Hadebarim that I command you. And that is precisely, folks, part of the reason why the Whore Church and the Whore Synagogue were both kicked out. They became masters, pros, at doing exactly that. Yahushua, if you recall, called the Pharisees hypocrites for how much they added to it. You add all these burdens, he said, you don't even bear them yourself. And this is a violation, and they knew it, of the commandment that was given right here and repeated. You're not to add to the word which I command you, nor diminish from it. You may keep, so that you may keep, the commandments of Yahuwah Yireh, which I command you. Now he reminds them, you've seen, your eyes have seen what Yahuwah did in Baal Peor. For all the men that followed, they be all the Lord of Peor, which Yahuwah destroyed from the midst of you. But you, you that did cleave unto Yahuwah Yireh are alive today, every one of you. Behold, he says, I have taught you, there's that same word again, second time now, statutes and ordinances. So hukim ve mishpatim. And remember, those are the things which do carry the force of law, if you want to think about it that way. Even as Yahuwah, my El, commanded me, that you should do so in the midst of the land that you are going in to possess. Now, the Rashi come on here, and it's kind of emphasized by several of these verses all in a row, the wisdom of Yahuwah, right? You ask for wisdom. This is the essence of wisdom, to do what it is that he says to do in his instruction. That is literally how you can determine that someone is wise. So observe, therefore, shamar, keep, do. The root word is shamar, and in this case it's shamartem, so it's the all form of the verb. You all, every one of you, listen, do, observe, keep, and do this, for this is your wisdom. So there it is. And your understanding, the sight of the peoples. In other words, these other nations. When they hear these statutes, they'll say, wow, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there that Elohim has been so nigh unto them as Yahuwah our El is, whensoever we call upon him? And that one, I think, is really interesting, too. I guess you'd have to look at it and say, well, here's a sad situation. When they were in the wilderness and when this comment was being made, it was absolutely true. Imagine, that's kind of a wow, isn't it? That whenever we call upon him, Yahuwah is here. What great nation is there that has statutes and ordinances that are so righteous as all of this Torah which I set before you this day? Only just take heed to yourself, keep your soul diligently, lest you forget those things which your eyes saw, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, but instead make them known to your children and to your children's children. The day that you stood before Yahuwah your El in Horeb, when Yahuwah said to me, assemble before me the people, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And you came near, and I remember, this is a reminder that he is telling them then, and it should still be as appropriate today for us, even though we didn't stand there and see it and hear it. You came near, you stood under the mountain burned with fire to the heart of heaven, with darkness, cloud, thick darkness, and Yahuwah spoke unto you out of the midst of the fire. What is he reminding them here? Not just about what they heard, we're going to hear that reprised in a second, but also that you heard the voice, but you saw no form. That's important. So you heard the voice of the words, but you saw no form, only the voice. He declared unto you his covenant, his brit, which he commanded you to perform, even the 10 Deborim, the 10 words or sayings. He wrote them upon those two tablets of stone. And Yahuwah commanded me at that time to teach you, there's that same root word again, lamad, the statutes and the ordinances, that you might do them in the land that you're going over to possess it. So therefore, take good heed unto yourself. And here he repeats it, because you saw no manner of form on that day that Yahuwah spoke with you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Why is that going to be important? Because you are not going to make graven images and try to think that you saw something. You didn't. You simply heard his voice. Now, I guess it's also true that the word was used that what they saw was the download of the images of the words. In other words, they got a major high bandwidth download that day of the things that he's going to reprise for them. But they did not see a face. They did not see him as a physical or an apparition or anything of the sort. Why? You didn't see any matter of form. Lest you deal corruptly and make yourself a graven image, the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that's on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flies in the heavens, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, or any fish that's in the water under the earth. He's pretty clear on all this. Not even Dagon, fish hat for a pope to wear, nope. Then lift up your eyes unto heaven, and when you see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the host of heaven, that you are drawn away and try to worship them, serve them. Those things which Yahuwah your El has allotted unto all the peoples under the whole heaven. But you has Yahuwah taken and brought forth out of the iron furnace, out of Mitzrayim, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as you are this day. Now Yahuwah was angered with me for your sakes, and he swore that I would not get to go over to the Jordan, that I should not go into that good land which Yahuwah your El is giving you for an inheritance. But I must die here in this land. I am not allowed to go over the Jordan, but you all, you go over and possess that good land. So take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the brit, the covenant of Yahuwah your El, And ironically, today, folks, we even hear that he did away with his own covenant. That is one of the bigger lies. There are some really big ones, like he did away with his entire instruction. But the claim that he did away with the covenant because men broke it. No, he didn't. He fulfilled it when men wouldn't. But he didn't do away with it. It's still there, and he still honors it. So lest you forget the covenant of Yehuyarel, which he made with you, and instead now you make yourself a graven image, the likeness of anything which Yehuyarel has forbidden you. For Yehuyarel is a devouring fire. Here we go. One of the many the names that are given in Scripture for Yahuwah. In this case, it's a descriptive one. Elkanah, the jealous God. Elkanah. And we're going to hear this more than once in this very Torah portion, and it's associated with this prohibition against idolatry. When you shall beget children and children's children, you shall have been a long time in the land, and you deal corruptly and make a graven image, even the form of anything, and you shall do that which is evil in the sight of Yahuwah, your El, to provoke him. Well, he says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day. So pause there. We're going to see these two witnesses. I mean, if you want to see two witnesses, there's a discussion in Revelation. Who are the two witnesses? Well, here are the first two witnesses. These two witnesses are called by Moshe, and they are called by Yeshua as well. Remember, as long as heaven and earth, those two witnesses exist. He isn't doing away with so much as one jot or tittle, much less a word, out of his word, his instruction, which is what we're seeing here. So, same witnesses, they appear over and over again. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you shall soon utterly perish from off that land as you go over the Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but you shall utterly be destroyed. What? Yeah, the warning. He is a jealous El. If you participate in idolatry, this is what's going to happen. Now, we know that this is, in fact, what did happen. This is the first major prophetic utterance of exactly what happened, where we are, and why we are where we are. And Yahuwah, he says, shall scatter you among the peoples. Yep, here we are. And you shall be left few in number among all the nations, whither Yahuwah shall lead you away. And there, he says, you will serve those other gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. Now, what's interesting is, the reason for the scattering and the exile is because they were worshiping fake gods. And it says, and when you get exiled, you'll worship fake gods. Now, Rashi points out that this isn't so much redundant as it is an indication, too. You will also serve those other pagans who worship the fake gods. So it's servants of servants. This is a bad thing, in other words. You'll serve those fake gods and those who made them. But from there, you will seek Yehuyarel. Oh, wait a second. This is interesting. At the same time, we get the prophecy of something which we now know has occurred, and we're still in exile. We get the first prophecy that it is going to be of a finite duration. From there, you will seek Yehuyarel, and you shall find him. Seek, and ye shall find. Not only that, folks, I think this is probably the key prophecy for those of us who are coming out of the whore church and the whore synagogue and returning to him and recognizing that we have inherited lies. He is talking about what is going on now, and we can each of us see it in our own lives. As we seek Yahuwah, the real one, we seek him by his real name, we seek his real written word, we seek to see what it is we've been lied to about and that we would return to and do. And he says, you shall find him if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. In your distress, when all of these things have come upon you, in the end of days. And I'll say it again, wow, here we are. That certainly looks like a pretty good description of where we are. And for those that would say, are we there yet? Well, let's just finish the sentence, the verse. When all these things are come upon you, in the end of days, you will return unto Yehuyarel and hearken, hear and obey unto his voice. For Yehuyarel is a merciful God. He will not fail you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore unto them. So even if you here in the whore church, the one that's been lying to you, the lies we've inherited from our fathers, no, it's not done away, it's still extant. He will not forget the covenant, even if the whore church lies to you and says it's done away with. For ask now, he says, of the days past, which were before you, since the day that Yahuwah created man upon the earth, and from one end of the heavens unto the other, where has there been any such thing as this great thing is, or has been heard like it? Did a people ever hear the voice of Elohim speaking out of the midst of the fire, as you have heard, and live? So they had that. Now, I will point out, we do have one thing. We have the Torah made flesh, the prophet like unto Moshe, which he has talked about and will essentially reiterate one way or another here. We had the Torah made flesh who did in fact speak, and we have his words recorded as well. So we have a twofer on this score. Or has Elohim essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation, by trials, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, by great terrors, according to all that Yahuwah your El did for you in Egypt before your eyes? I guess we could say in America we have at least a little taste of that. I tend to think that what happened during the War for Independence was a great nation was taken from the midst of another great nation, and given signs and wonders. They were different. They weren't quite the same minimum necessary in a miracle, for example, as the 10 plagues or the crossing of the Sea of Reeds. But we certainly saw things that would constitute miracles during that time. And likewise, we can say, and our founding fathers did. He did these things before our eyes. Unto you it was shown, so that you might know that Yahuwah, he is El. There is none else besides him. Out of heaven he made you to hear his voice, that he might instruct you. And upon the earth he made you to see his great fire, and you heard his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved your fathers and chose their seed after them, and brought you out with his presence, with his great power, out of Mitzrayim, out of bondage, to drive out nations from before you, greater and mightier than you, to bring you in and give you their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Know, therefore, Hayom, this day, and lay it to your heart that Yahuwah, he is Elohim, in heaven above and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. And here it is again, as if we had any doubt. And you shall keep his statutes and his commandments. Hahukin ve mitzvotin, which I command you this day. That it may go well with you and with your children after you, that may you may prolong your days upon the land which Yahuwah your El is giving you. Ha Yamim, for all the days. Then Moshe separated three cities beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. So these are the cities of refuge. The manslayer can flee there. The guy who slays his neighbor unawares. He didn't hate him before. In other words, it was an accident. He hadn't premeditated it. And that fleeing unto one of these cities, he might live. So he is at risk of being whacked by one of his relatives, you know, the man of vengeance, if you will, the manslayer, who did not do it on purpose, but the relative may not see that. Once he gets to the cities, he's safe. Bezer in the wilderness and the tableland for the Reubenites, Ramot in Gilead for the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan for the Manassites. Now this is, it says, HaTorah, which Moshe set before the B'nai Israel. These are the testimonies and the statutes and the ordinances which Moshe spoke to the B'nai Israel when they came forth out of Mitzrayim, beyond the Jordan, the valley over against Bet Peor, in the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon, but not anymore, whom Moshe and the children of Israel smote when they came forth out of Egypt. They took his land in possession, and the land of Og, king of Bashan, the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan towards the sunrise, in other words, on the east. From Aror, which is on the edge of the valley of Arnon, even unto Mount Sion, that's the same as Hermon, and all the Arabah beyond the sea, beyond the Jordan eastward, even unto the sea of the Arabah, under the slopes of Pisgah. So the next chapter, 5, says, Moshe then called unto all Israel. And here is something we're going to see. It's actually repeated a couple times in these next chapters. He said unto them, Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel, the statutes and the ordinances which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and observe to do them. This theme is just being repeated. He is bringing it home. That Yahuwah our El cut or made, karat is the Hebrew word there, to cut a covenant with us in Horeb. And the covenant, you know, used to actually involve the cutting of the flesh and the shedding of blood. That was the concept of a real covenant that was cut. Yahuwah made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, all of us who are here alive this day. Yahuwah spoke with you face to face in the mountain out of the midst of the fire. I stood between Yahuwah and you at that time to declare unto you the word of Yahuwah. For you were afraid because of that fire. You didn't go up on the mountain. And instead, you... he doesn't say it here, but we remember it was, and here's what he's repeating, it was Moshe who was a mediator that was going to be doing this afterwards. We're going to see that repeated as well. But here are the things then that they heard out of the fire. So, in chapter 5, we get the reprise of the famous 10 Devarim sayings. And the first one, Anoki Yahuwah. Now, as you know, I have a late rabbi friend that I've always loved this teaching, where he says, you know what, you really want to understand it, put a period after those two words. I am Yahuwah, Yirel. There's more, there's a description, but simply understood, it's about knowing Yada in your very soul that He is who He says He is. He is the one, the only Yahuwah. I am Anoki Yahuwah Yirel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other Elohim before my face, before me. So, lifnei, basically, al panai, my face. It follows, doesn't it? If He is, and we're to know that, then obviously there's no other El besides Him or before Him. Number two, well, if you're counting it that way anyway, you shall not make unto yourself a graven image. He just made that point clear a couple dozen verses back. Not any matter of likeness of anything that's in the heavens above or in the earth beneath or that's in the waters under the earth. You're not to bow down to them or serve them. For I, Yahuwah, your El, am Elkanah. There's that same name again. A jealous El. Visiting the Torahlessness, the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the third and fourth generation of those that hate me. But showing mercy unto the thousandth generation of those that love me, and here's the key, and keep my commandments. Mercy, it's not just love him. How do you know we love him? And keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of Yahuwah in vain. You shall not reduce it to nothingness. Now, I tend to believe that that would include taking his name, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, out some 7,000 times from Scripture and reducing it to nothingness or almost nothingness, saying the Lord in its place. That's not what he says. It's not what he does. And it's ironic that people will say, oh, saying the GD word is forbidden, but not reducing his name, which they don't even know, to nothingness to the point where that's why they don't know it. You shall not take the name of Yahuwah, Yirel, in vain, reducing it to mere nothingness. For Yahuwah will not hold him guiltless who makes his name a nullity. In vain. Here we go again. Shamar. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it set apart. Well, this one's just plain ignored. It's never in Scripture that it's changed. It's the seventh day. He says observe it. Keep it. Do it. Shamar. Guard it. The whore church? No, we go to church on Sun God Day because Constantine said that if we did, we worshiped the sun god instead, he'd quit persecuting us. That's a pretty fair trade, right? Wrong. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it set apart as Yahuwah Yirel commanded you, and he never changed it. And not only that, he lays out some more detail here just in case there's any doubt. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath unto Yahuwah Yirel. In it you shall do no manner of work, not you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your ox, nor your ass, nor any of your cattle, nor the stranger that is within your gates. And your manservant and your maidservant, they should rest along with you. And you shall remember that, and by the way, this is one of the few places where there is a significant difference between this second telling and the first time around. And it's right here in verse 14. And you shall remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt, Mitzrayim, and Yahuwah Yirel brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, Yahuwah Yirel commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Now, isn't it ironic, folks? Think about the implications here. He brought us out of bondage by an outstretched arm and a mighty hand. And what has happened? Yeah. Command, keep the Sabbath day? Oh, no. No, they don't. We're back in bondage again. And it's actually a hell of a lot worse bondage than most people can imagine. The next one, honor your father and your mother, as Yehoiarel commanded you, that your days may be long and that may go well with you upon the land which Yehoiarel gives you. Then we get the three two-word commandments. Okay, bang, bang, bang. Lo tirzach. You shall not slay. It's not murder, it's slay. There's a difference. Remember, the manslayer, the accident, is not exactly what we're talking about here. This is about premeditated, violent, let's just go kill somebody. And it's thou shalt not slay. Lo tirzach. The next one. Ve lo, and not also, tinaf. Tinaf, to commit adultery. This requires a married woman. In other words, you do not take another man's wife and have sexual congress with her. Lo tinaf. Nor shall you steal. And that one is lo tignov. And again, a lot of the Hebrew scholars will point out, we already, and we're going to have it repeated here, have a commandment against taking somebody's stuff or even coveting their stuff. That would include their wife and their land and the other things that they have. So the additional implication here is, what else can you steal? Yeah, you can steal people, kidnap. So this has a broader understanding than a lot of times is taught. There's other commandments that also repeat, don't steal. Nor, it says, shall you bear false witness against your neighbor. Now, here comes the one where we get the overlap. Nor shall you covet your neighbor's wife, lust for her. Nor shall you desire or covet your neighbor's house or his field or his manservant or his maidservant or his ox or his ass or anything. Not his new car, not his yacht, not his whatever. If it's his, it's not within your permitted reach. It's not yours. Now, you might want one like it. That's fine. You might be able to say, oh, he's got a beautiful wife. I'm happy he has this beautiful wife. There's no sin in any of that. The sin is to covet, to say, oh, I really want that. Because the thought precedes the action is one of the teachings that kind of goes along here. We see that Yeshua emphasizes that point as well. It begins in the heart, and then it expands. These words, which Yahuwah spoke unto you all, in the assembly, and the mountain out of the midst of the fire of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice, and it went on no more. And he wrote it upon those two tablets of stone, and he gave them to me. And that came to pass, when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, while the mountain burnt with fire, you came near unto me, all the heads of your tribes, your elders, and you said, oh man, behold, Yahuwah your El has shown us his glory and his greatness. We've heard his voice out of the midst of fire. We've seen this day that Elohim does in fact speak with man, and he lives. Now therefore, why should we die? We got away with it once, is kind of the implication. Man, it scared the you-know-what out of us. This great fire would consume us if we hear the voice of El, our God, Yahuwah, anymore. That's just more than we can handle. That would plain kill us, is basically what they're saying. We'll die. For who is there of all flesh that has heard the voice of the living Elohim speaking out of the midst of the fire like we have and lived? So you go near. This is to Moshe they're talking. You go near. You hear all the stuff that Yahuwah is going to say. And then you speak to us all that Yahuwah RL might speak unto you. Okay, you can be the mediator. And we'll all hear it. Yeah, we'll do it. So Yahuwah heard the voice of your words when you spoke unto me. And he said to me, yep, I've heard the words of those people which they have spoken unto you. They have well spoken all that they've said. This is okay. Oh, that they had such a heart as this always, to fear me and keep all my commandments. Notice as we went through that list how many of those aren't even said to be extant anymore by the whore church. They don't keep the Sabbath. A lot of the whore church doesn't keep the graven images thing. They got their little shrines and their man on a stick and all kinds of stuff. Things that are explicitly forbidden, and they even twist some of the others too. Oh, that they had such a heart as this always, to fear me and keep all, not some of my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Well, it wasn't. That's, again, while that exile is still in place. So go to them and say to them, return to your tents. But as for you, you stand here by me, and I'll speak unto you, he's talking to Moshe again, all the commandment and the statutes and the ordinances which you shall teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. You shall observe to do, therefore, Shamar, as Yehuahiel has commanded you, you're not to turn aside to the right hand nor to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which Yehuahiel commands you, that you might live, that it might be well with you, and that you might prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. And that ends the chapter break, if you will, which takes us to chapter 6. This one, of course, is the one where we're going to see what Yahuwah in the flesh, Yahushua, the salvation of Yah, later said was the most important commandment in the book. And it begins like this. He's going to lay it out, and then we'll hear the specific. Now this, it says, vizot, is, notice the term here is singular. It's not commandments, plural. It's the commandment, singular. Now this is the commandment, but it includes the statutes, plural, ha-hukim, and the ordinances, ha-mishpatim, which Yehuahiel commanded to teach you. So it's a single commandment, if you will, hear and obey, that you might do them in the land whether you go over when you go over to possess it, and you might fear Yehuahiel to keep all of his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you, your son's son, all the days of your life, that your days might be prolonged. He's emphasized this with almost the same wording now at least three times. So here, therefore, Shamar, and the conjugation varies, but hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it might be well with you, that you might increase mightily, as Yahuwah, the Elohim of your fathers, has promised unto you, a land flowing with milk and honey. All right, here we go. Now, verse 4. So this is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, the most important commandment in Scripture. Shema Israel, Yahuwah Eloheinu, Yahuwah Echad. Hear, O Israel, hearken, literally, hear and obey is Shema in the English. Yahuwah our El, Yahuwah is Echad. He is a unity. And you shall love Yehuahiel with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. V'havta et Yahuwah Eloheka, v'kol levavka, v'kol nefeshka, v'kol meodeka. All your heart, all your soul, and all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. Shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them upon the doorposts. Now, this little box that you may recall seeing on some households, mitzutzah. Doorposts, and that's what the box is called, and it's kind of an okay way, I think, to do it. It says write them on the doorposts of your house, and that is literally what a lot of people do. I got one on the front of the little building that we're in right here, and I don't know that it is the only way that that commandment can be fulfilled, but it's certainly a nice literal understanding, and I don't have any problem with it. And it shall be that when Yehuahiel brings you into the land which he swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, great and goodly cities which you didn't build, houses full of all good things which you didn't fill up, cisterns hewn out which you didn't have to dig, vineyards and olive gardens and trees which you didn't have to plant, then you shall eat and be satisfied. Then beware lest you forget Yahuwah, who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Instead, it says, you shall fear Yehuahiel, him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You're not to go after other gods, fake gods, if you will, Elohim, mighty ones, the gods of the people that are round about you. Because, here it is again, third time now in this sequence, Ki Elkanah, he is Elkanah, the jealous El, even Yehuahiel, in the midst of you, lest the anger of Yahuwah be kindled against you, and he destroy you from off the face of the earth. This is serious, and he's just emphasized it now again for the third time. You shall not test or try, put him to the stick, Yehuahiel, as you tried to do to him or as you tested him in Massah. This is a place where the first time Moses smote the rock. You shall diligently keep the commandments, the mitzvot, of Yehuahiel, and his testimonies, and his statutes, which he has commanded you. And you shall do that which is right and good in the sight of Yahuwah, that it may be well with you, and you may go in and possess the good land which Yahuwah swore to your fathers. This theme, folks, it's almost, it's amazing that it could be so ignored. when it is so repeated here and so emphasized. And notice there's no place in Scripture, no place ever, where it was changed. And if somebody tells you that, well, understand what Don said about it. They're liars and the truth is not in them. And by the way, they're calling the Messiah a liar too, because he said, right in his first public address, Matthew 5, not one yod or tittle. As long as heaven and earth exist, those two witnesses Moshe called here too. As long as heaven and earth exist, not one yod or tittle. They're not changing. So, the idea, you're going to thrust out all your enemies from before you as Yahuwah has spoken. Now it says, when your son asks you in this time to come and he says, hey, what does all this mean, these testimonies, the statutes, the ordinances which Yahuwah our El has commanded you? Well, then you say to your son, we were Pharaoh's bondsmen in Egypt, and Yahuwah brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Now remember, this is essentially one of the elements of the Passover Seder or service, and the meal that's associated with it, is this idea of when your children ask you, be ready to give them an answer. Be ready to tell them. And here's what you say. We were Pharaoh's bondsmen. Yahuwah brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and Yahuwah showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, all of his house, before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore unto our fathers. And Yahuwah commanded us to do all of these statutes, to fear Yahuwah our El, for our own good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be righteousness, Torah obedience, unto us, if we observe to do all this commandment. It's almost it's a tautology, it's a truism. It's righteousness, that's the definition, to do what he says to do. Observe to do all this commandment before Yahuwah, as in fact he has commanded us. Yeah, if it sounds redundant, it is, and it's ironic that there could therefore be people who deny what should be so obvious. When Yahuwah your El shall bring you into the land which you go to possess, and he casts out those many nations from before you. Now, we've seen this list before. These are the seven. The Hittite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when Yahuwah your El delivers them up before you, and you shall smite them, then you shall utterly destroy them. You shall make cut no covenant with them, nor shall you show mercy unto them. And understand, the way I believe that we have a lot of evidence in Scripture to support, these are peoples, but they're not humans. In other words, their DNA is tainted. Unlike Noah, who was perfect in his generations, his bloodline was not contaminated with the Nephilim and the descendants of the Nephilim and the Raphaim and all these other groups. And they're listed here for, you know, who knows how many times, but not the first. The Hittite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, Perizzite, Hivite, Jebusite. All of these, as well as some others, the idea, destroy the bloodline. Nor shall you make marriages with them. Your daughter shall not give, you shall not give unto his son, nor shall his daughter you take unto your son. Do not intermarry, because, again, the bloodline is tainted. For he will turn away your son from following me, that they might serve other gods. So will the anger of Yahuwah be kindled against you, and he will destroy you quickly. He makes this very clear. You don't intermarry with them. You don't deal with them. You don't go worship their gods. He's going to say some other things. We're going to see this next verse makes it real clear. And the level of anger and of vitriol shows up in the very words that are used. Here's what he says. Here is how you are to deal with them instead. You shall break down their altars, dash in pieces their pillars, hew down their asherim, and burn their graven images with fire. Now, what I think is interesting, and I've got this one highlighted all up in my various Bibles. If you look at the verbs in Hebrew, there are different forms of conjugation. They don't quite exist in the same way in English. In English, what we would do is translate some of these into different words. So you have... In Hebrew, though, this is called the peel conjugation. And it's the most emphatic, most action, most, like violent level of action associated with a particular verb. So, for example, you can break something, or in the peel conjugation, the same word, root word that means break, is translated instead as smash it or pulverize it to smithereens. You see the difference? So when it says break down their altars, it's just not kind of tip them over. No, it's pulverize them into nothingness. dash them in pieces, their pillars, hew down their Asherim, yeah, cut those suckers off at the very root, and burn their graven images with fire. Because you are a people that are Kadosh. I'm Kadosh unto Yehoyarel. Yehoyarel has chosen you to be his own treasure out of all the peoples upon the face of the earth. Yahuwah, he says, didn't set his love upon you, nor choose you, because there were so many of you, or more in number than other people, because you were in fact the fewest of all peoples. But because Yahuwah loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore unto your fathers. That's why Yahuwah brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So know therefore that Yehoyarel, he is El, the faithful El who keeps covenant, and it's actually Ha Brit, the covenant, and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments, yep, to 1,000 generations. He repays them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hates him. He will repay him to his face. Now I see that one and I think that's interesting, folks. Because we would look out today and go, well, there's a whole lot of people that seem to hate him. We haven't seen it yet. I have a suspicion that whether we see it in the imminent time frame or eventually, it's going to be to their face. You, therefore, you, and this is the last of the verses in this week's Torah portion. You, therefore, shall keep the commandment, ha mitzvah, and the statutes and the ordinances, both of those are plural, which I command you this day to do them. And with that, the Torah portion ends. And again, it's emphatic, and it's fundamental.